Pastor Evangelist Fisher, once again, coming to you. Happy you're able to be here with us today as for our Wednesday Bible study. It is a blessing, once again, as it is always, to come at this time and share God's Word with you. And we pray that you are having a blessed day, like we have. I've had a very blessed day, but it's been a little hectic. But by and large, all is well, and I thank God for another day's journey. Amen. We're going to go right ahead, and this is Street Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, we would be called, but we're doing some things to convert to a little less technical name, and we'll tell you more about that as time goes. But in the meantime, just want to let you know, have an announcement at the beginning, that we have started a PayPal account for St. Timothy. And those of you who know PayPal, you know how to go about getting the app so that you can locate us online. St. Timothy MB Church is the legal name at this time. You can find us on PayPal if you would like to make a donation to the ministry. We just got that account going today, separately from the one that's on teachingbible.org. In the days to come, we're going to launch a new website with St. Timothy Church, so keep looking for that. We're about to roll that out, but probably not until the first of the year, so that's my announcement. In the meantime, you can always mail a donation if you like to P.O. Box 210301, St. Louis, Missouri 63121. That's P.O. Box 210301, 63121. And also, we're going to be putting in Cash App and a few other ones that are kind of more popular, just haven't gotten them done yet. So in the meantime, get us on PayPal or send a donation to P.O. Box 210-301-63121. We would, of course, welcome your donations as we go into a new year. We have big plans for the new year to spread the gospel even further, and we hope you'd like to be a part of that. Amen. So having said that, that's my commercial. Now we can move along. I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Amen. As you know, it is our custom. The Lord says, men ought to always pray and not faint. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you, O God, and magnify your name in the highest, because you are truly excellent and you're worthy to be praised. Father, we just thank you for being all places at all times, Lord God. You're still with us, even though there's trouble and danger on every side, and we get all kinds of threats and things that come up on our lives, Lord, but you are constant, Lord God, and you have always been there, and you have never failed. And so, Father, we want to give you praise. We want to exalt your name. We just thank you today, God, that you fill all the heavens and all the earth. And, Father, there is none like you. And we want to thank you for sending your son, Jesus, that we celebrate at this time of year. Lord, I celebrate Jesus all through the years. Lord, I've always told people that, Christmas is every day for me, because we love the fact that you sent your son, Jesus the Christ. And you allowed him to be crucified on the Roman cross in order to shed his perfect, precious blood for wretches like us. And so, Father, we just magnify you. We lift up your name, Father. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the gospel of your Son. We thank you for the resurrection, Father, depicting that he has power over all things, including death, hell, and the grave. And so, Father, hallelujah for Jesus, Father. We thank you right now. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for the revelation of Christ, your only begotten Son, that came at this time, Lord God, and even whenever it was. People say, well, you don't know when he came. Well, I don't worry about it. I know he came, because the world is surrounded by Christ, and time is centered on him. So hallelujah to your name, Lord God. No matter what anybody says, Lord God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his revelation. We thank you for his death, oh God, and we thank you for his burial. And above all, Lord God, we thank you for his resurrection. Thank you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask forgiveness of sin. We can't come before a holy God without asking you to forgive us of all of our sin. And Father, we know that there is no sin in Christ. And he took our sins and bore them in his body on the tree. And so, Father, we come and confess our sins because you said you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you that you bought us from a mighty long way, oh God. You bought us, oh God, from where we were to be where we are now, and you promise you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord God, we give you the glory right now. And Father, it's in the name of Jesus. Father, bless this lesson this evening. Bless my brothers and sisters that are listening right now, Lord God. Some of them are going through turmoil and trouble and difficulty, Lord God, but we know you are right there with them. So, Father, give them that comfort of your presence, Lord God. Let your spirit radiate in their household and in their mind and in their body, Lord God. Touch and heal right now, Lord God. Because we know you're able. You can speak and then will lay down and die. Or you can speak again and they can rise from the dead. And so, Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory, Lord. Let your spirit speak now, Lord God. And let me get out of the way, oh God. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we thank you in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's in his mighty name we pray. And all the saints say together, amen. Hallelujah. We want to go ahead and praise God. It's always a good thing to give him praise. And we're blessed that you have come to join us today. Amen. So we want to go right ahead. We do have a word from the Lord. And y'all know we've been talking about some things here for the Christmas season. So I'm going to talk to you today about something that may seem like it's a little different than what we've been talking about. But it's actually the reason. One of the deep reasons and something that was put in my spirit today, I was convicted about this to talk with you about, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. So we're going to get right on that right now. Amen. So I'm blessed and thankful to be here, and I'm glad you're here with me. And you'll see how this fits with the narrative of what we've been talking about. Those of you who've been with us, some of you are joining us today for the first time. And if you are, that's okay. We're happy you're here. But we've been doing a little series, a Christmas series. And we talked about, from the beginning, lesson one, about how God made man in his own image. The scripture says, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We talked about that, and that message is still available on our website at teachingbible.org. Or it's here on Facebook. If you want to look us up there, you can find these previous messages. And then we talked about the manifestation of God in the image of man. And then we tied into that also. This is talking about the first Christmas when the Word became flesh, as John 1:14 says, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which Matthew 1:23 says is God with us. And we talked about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That wonderful prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6, telling us about both the first and the second advent of Jesus the Christ. Now, when we say advent, that just means appearance, or the first appearance of Christ was his first advent when he became flesh initially and dwelt among us. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He satisfied God 100% for everyone who believes in him. He is the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, as John 14:6 says. No one will come to the Father without him. That's why we preach, except by him, Jesus said. So that's why we preach Christ crucified. The Bible tells us that to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. But unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. In other words, Jews and Gentiles have a problem with the basic message of the gospel. But to us who are being saved, Paul goes on to say, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that's what we're talking about here. When we talk about Christmas, it really displays the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians that the wisdom of God is wiser than men. And that the foolishness of God is even wiser than men. Because, see, men seek after wisdom and all of that. He told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said he didn't come with persuasive words of man's wisdom when he came to declare unto us the testimony of God. But he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the wisdom of the prince of this world, that come to naught. In other words, all the wisdom of this world and all the trickery of the devil, you know what it's going to equal in eternity? A big fat zero. It comes to naught. That's what that KJV word means. It means nothing. It will accomplish nothing. And that's in consistency with what Jesus taught in Matthew 16, verse 26. What would a man be profited if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What's worth one soul? To God, one soul is worth more than the whole world. So you can gain the world and lose your soul, which is a terrible thing, because so many people put so much effort into gaining the world at the expense of their soul. And there's one way to be right with God, and that is by grace, His grace, unmerited favor, through faith. That means trusting and believing the document that God has given, which is His holy word. You need to believe God. Remember, we talked about on Sunday when we were talking about the resurrection portion and how it ties in with the whole Christmas story, that the Bible says in Genesis 15:6, speaking of the father of the faithful, Abraham, and we looked at this in Hebrews 11, and which comes from a quote in Genesis 15, verse 6, says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, that verse right there lets you see that Abraham did not impress God with his works. He didn't do enough good works where God said, oh, you know, I like that, Abraham. You know what? Abraham was minding his business in sin in the Ur of the Chaldees. And God called him and said, Abraham, get thee out of your country and out of your father's house and away from your kindred and come into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless him that blesseth you, and curse him that curseth you. And in your seed, speaking of Jesus, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God promised a blessing to Abram. He called him out of his regular flow of life, called him away from everything he was counting on for 75 years, called him away from everything but his immediate family. He took his wife Sarah, some of his servants. He loaded up a few things, and his lot went with him, his nephew, and he got out. That's because he said, I've abandoned the world, and I'm following the true God. And so that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we set our mind on what God has said in His Word and trust Him and walk by faith and not by sight, God will lead us through this world to the place He wants us to be. And you know what? He gives salvation just as He did to Abraham in the illustration that we just did there from the book of Genesis in Hebrews 11. Says, talks about how Abraham went out not knowing where he went, and he followed God, and it was by faith. So faith is that trust God, what He said. Believe Him supremely, no matter what you hear in this world. Know what? This world is really jacked up. I'm going to put it in everyday language. It's jacked up. People think they know stuff. And they do know a lot. I'm not trying to say people don't have knowledge. Yes, they do. But you know what? If what you have that you call knowledge flies in the face of the truth, it's going to come to naught. That's what Paul told these Corinthians here, as he told them that we speak the wisdom. This is 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, he says here. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. That's what I want you to hear. Nor are the princes of this world that comes to zero. Everything this world can produce will equal zero unless you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, beloved, you have a problem. And I'm not trying to bring you bad news. It's good news. Because you know what? God said that He decided, we'll see this later on in this chapter. I want to put that on your list to read after I'm done, because I got some other stuff I want to talk to you about today. But the fact is, the wisdom of this world will come to zero. It will profit you nothing, as Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for a soul? You see, all the fights, the bickering, the challenges with political stuff, politics, and all of that is all over people who think we must control the world. And God really wants man to control the world, but he doesn't want you to do it without him. You know, if you're trying to do it without him, that's certainly idolatry, because you're worshiping the works of your hands. You're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Paul said, who is God blessed forever. Amen. In the book of Romans. You know, we don't want to worship the creation. We want to worship the creator, the one who made all things and loved us so much he sent his son, Jesus, who he centered the whole world around him. Right now, the world today, and has been a whole time I've been here, let me put it that way. And I know it's been that way all the way back thousands of years. The world has been centered on Christ, and it will continue to be until the deception like we see now will divert the path of that, and there will be some people who will make a law to change the time system because they don't want to give the glory to Jesus the Christ. And so what I want to do for you this evening, beloved, is let you know God loves you. I'm telling you all this so that you know, just like you are right now, God loves you. He gave his son Jesus the Christ 2,000 years ago approximately, when he was at the age of 33 and a half, to be crucified on the tree, to die there and shed his blood with no sin of his own, in order to take the penalty for my sin and your sin upon him. Entire, by himself, he took the sin of all of us who believe in him. Because a lot of folks won't believe in him and their sins won't be covered. But whosoever believes in him, that's what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, we talked about that in one of the previous messages, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God wants to give you a proper relationship with him, which the Bible calls eternal life, John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus prayed that in what we call the high priestly prayer. And so I want you to understand that God loves you. So if you don't have a right relationship with God, beloved, guess what? It's not his fault. God made the message simple and plain so that even a person with very minimal knowledge can get a grip on. You know why? Because God is no respecter of persons. There is nobody who has a favor with God just because you're rich or you're a certain color, a certain nationality. No matter what kind of differences you make between human beings, God says, I accept you if you accept my son. So you know, man is the one who makes all these stratas in society and all of that, where there's the big eyes and the little U's, and the way it is in the world. But that won't stand before a holy God. There's one way to be right, and that is put your faith in his son, Jesus the Messiah, whom he sent on the very first Christmas. Amen. We're going to talk about that. That's where we want to get today. So let me not spend a lot of time with introductions. But I just want you to know that no wisdom, no science, nothing that anybody has produced here from their own human mentality will ever make them right with God. One way you can be right with God. And God has sent his son, Jesus the Christ. The mission of the church is to go and teach all the nations the gospel, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, all the days, it literally says in the Greek, even to the end of the world. God says, I'm not changing my policy to the end of the world. So somebody told you something changed, guess what? Nothing changed. God is the same. He does not change. I am the Lord your God. I change not. You know, and therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6 will tell you that. So many places talk about the immutability of God. Hebrews 6:18, he is immutable. His promise is immutable. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. So if God made you a promise, beloved, you can take it to the bank. So I want to let you know today, it's my privilege and my pleasure to tell you that God loves you exactly the way you are. He has given his son, Jesus the Christ, centered the world on him the first Christmas to let you know I love you that much that I would give my only begotten son for you. And if you simply believe in him, that's the simplicity of the gospel. You know what? Churches, denominations, all of that, they have other standards other than the simple basic gospel. We've gotten into some of everything in the church. We got churches preaching politics right now today. And politics has never saved anybody, and it never will. There is no way it can. You know, the people in politics need Christ. And if they're ashamed of him, you know what he says? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you when it comes time for you to stand before Almighty God, my Father, and give an account of your life. You better come with the blood of Jesus or you will not be, you'll be in trouble. You're going to be in bad trouble if you come without Jesus. And it's not enough to say, oh, I believe Jesus. Without soaking your mind in who Jesus is. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that's a work you have to do. That's not the purpose of my clarity about the gospel. So you understand it is a free gift, but there's no other way. You can't skip Jesus like so many try to do. Every false religion in the world tries to skip Jesus, or they modify Jesus into something you just slap in with some good works. But that's not the way the scripture teaches it. The gospel is exclusive. It says, whosoever believes in him shall be saved. And you need to repent. That means change your mind about what you think about Christ. So turn away from your sinful lifestyle. Turn your life over to Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one that can stand before Almighty God the Father and say, I declare this wretch right here, Landis Fisher, clean. Why? Because he believes in me. He trusts me. See, trusting Christ, having faith in him, that's what the gospel is about. And God's going to do the rest. So this is why he brought me to this subject. Sorry for the long introduction. But I want to get your mind set on this. So today I want to talk with you because the world has one standard, but God has another standard. And you want to be careful to make sure, beloved, that what you believe is based on his standard, not the creeds of churches, certainly not politics, certainly not any of these things that people are running around frustrating themselves about, rituals, ceremonies, none of that has ever saved anyone at any time. And you know what? It never will. It will not save anyone at any time, and it never has. And so that's what I want you to understand today. That no ritual, no ceremony has or ever will save you. God saved you all by himself, and he does it when you trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. That's what the Bible says. And God's not pulling any tricks on anybody. I want to let you know, the gospel is so plain, a little child can hear it and understand it and have a certainty that God has accepted me. And I want you to know that because in your heart of hearts, it's really about, do you trust that Christ is able? He's the only one got off the grave. I don't know why you would believe a fallible creature and not believe God's word. I don't know why you would do that. I don't want you to believe me. Believe God's word. See, that's why I preach the word. And that's what you should do. So we've looked at all these things. Let me move on to my subject here. I don't want to be too long with you tonight. I know y'all got plans and stuff here for the holiday. So about this, I want to talk on a subject today of secret accounting for an open reward. And you might wonder, how does that fit into the Christmas story? Well, I'll show you here in just a minute. Secret accounting for an open reward. The secret accounting, you're going to see as we go through this, I want you to understand, that even though there were literally thousands of years of prophecies that God had dispensed by word of mouth, think about that. He spoke to the patriarchs. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 is about all the times when God spoke in times past. You can put a little note on the side. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God, who at sundry times has spake in times past in divers manners to the fathers and through the prophets, as in the last of these days, spoke to us in his Son, by whom he also made the world, it simply says there. And it's talking about how God spoke to us through the years, through his word. And some of this, as I tell you here, even though we literally have thousands of years of prophecies that God has dispensed by word of mouth through the retroactive revelation that was given at Mount Sinai by way of Moses, that would be the book of the law from Genesis to Deuteronomy, he gave that to Moses, direct revelation from God to Moses, which he spoke mostly starting in Mount Sinai, and he talked to Moses throughout those years and dictated to him what we call the book of the law. Most beautiful thing that the world has ever beheld is the basis of all good human culture comes out of the book of the law. But you know what? The problem is not the book of the law. The problem is the wretches who have to be responsible for keeping it. Folk like us. You know, because you know why? Because the scripture says if you break God's law at one point, that you're guilty of the whole law. You've broken the whole law. And that's based on the absolute holiness of Almighty God. And so there's no way anyone in the history of humanity, including Adam, who broke God's one law that he had, and that was before the book of the law, but it's testified to by the book of the law, no one who's broken God's law once will enter into heaven without the blood of Jesus. So that's what you need to understand. God was planning to send Jesus to correct all the sin that was done by all people all the way back to the days of Adam, but it will only be applied to those who receive it by faith. That's why the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, all these people were justified that we looked at on our last week's message. So I want you to see there was a lot of revelation, thousands of years spoken directly to people, spoken and written finally through Moses, followed by a host of other prophets after the book of the law, after both Moses gave those first five books we call the Pentateuch. From the period when the judges ruled, all through there, when there was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own sight, all the way from that time through, all the way up through Malachi, which would conclude the Old Testament. And that was about 400 years before the birth of Christ. There was much misunderstanding about the first coming of Jesus the Messiah, that people didn't really get the real grip on everything about Christ. And you know what? I want to let you know this too tonight. Christ, the whole Bible, let's put it this way, from Genesis clear through to Malachi, is all about Christ, the Messiah. Even though it is it's a book of law, it's a book of songs and holy writings, it's a history of a people, of the people of Israel, all the way from their calling out of Ur of the Chaldees through Abraham, the Gentile, into three generations, Isaac and Jacob, into the development of the 12 tribes of Jacob, on through that whole history, all the way on up through the time of David the king. Of course, they had Saul in there, which the people chose, and he turned out to be a loser, but God selected David and gave him the kingship over Saul. And that whole time was a time of great unity, the reign of David, clear on up to his son Solomon. That was a period of about 40 years. And from that time on through to the end of the reign of Solomon, they were a united kingdom, the people of Israel, the Jews. But something I want to point out to you tonight is that God never rejected a Gentile at any time. Throughout all that time, Gentiles were being saved. You know how they got saved? Same way we're talking about tonight, by faith. If you believe God, your faith will be accounted to you for righteousness. And do you have any proof preaching? Yes, I do. How about Rahab, the harlot, in the book of, back in the book of Joshua, okay? Rahab, the harlot. How about Ruth, the Moabitess, in the book of Ruth, that was saved by grace, God's grace? She was a Moabitess, but she was saved by grace. How about Naaman, the Assyrian? He was saved by grace. And all of these people, we could go on naming all kinds of Gentiles who the scripture says had a proper relationship with God, even when the covenant people were his primary set of people on the earth. So God has never been a respecter of persons, and that's why the law caters to all people, just as it always has, and everything about God always has catered to all people. Whoever believes in God and walks by faith and not by sight will be saved by God. But now you have to believe. Now God has made the revelation more clear from 2,000 years ago up until today, because he sent his own son. And that's what the Hebrews tells us in chapter number 1. And he talks about the whole period of time from the time that God spoke all the way back. I'm going to hit this one more time just in case you missed it. Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers. That's people before Moses, Adam, Noah, people of that sort. And by the prophets, that comes starts with Noah on up. I mean, not Noah, I'm sorry, Moses on through. And Moses gives us the story of all these things in Genesis. He hath in the last of these days. What days are that? That's the days when God spoke, which would conclude back in about 95 A.D. through the New Testament. He has in the last of these days spoken unto us by his Son. That speaks of the first Advent or the first Christmas. And that's how I got on this subject. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. things, look at that, God appointed his son Jesus, heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. See that? So Jesus is the creator, and he was with God in the beginning. We looked at that earlier in our study. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him there was not made anything that was made. We looked at that a few times. So God has declared that his son, Jesus, is the heir. That means he is the one who possesses everything material. Everything that he made. And it was through him, he is the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Verse 3, Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about the Son, who exactly reflects the glory of the Father. No one can do that except God. So Jesus is God the Son. It says here that he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now that's a description of the complete work of Christ from his conception to his birth on the first Christmas, through his whole life up to 30 years, and the 3.5 years of the end of his life, which was his earthly ministry, where he called the 12 and trained them and proved that he was God, showed them that he was Almighty God. They beheld his glory, John said. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. See? And when he had showed them that he was God, he went to the cross, taking my sin and your sin, if you believe him. And he died on the cross. He was forsaken and smitten by God to the point that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God forsook him. You know why? Because he knew he could take it. Because he was the only one that could take me and forsake me by Almighty God. He did that for you and me. And whoever believes in him. See? So we need to understand some things here tonight. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will ever come to the Father without him. Cannot. And God forsook him because he knew he was holy. Absolutely perfect. And he doesn't need my support. He is able to do it all by himself. And by that, the Bible says God was satisfied. Because the Son, who had kept his law flawlessly throughout his whole life, went to the tree and died to take the penalty of death for your sin and for mine. So I hope you believe him tonight and understand it. He doesn't need our help. He hung there between heaven and earth on the tree, shedding his precious blood. He allowed all that. You know what? He had the authority and the power to stop it. So his authority and his power, he put it aside. That's why it says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was found in fashion as of a man. In other words, we looked at him, he just looked like everyday Joe. See? But he humbled himself, Philippians 2 says, and even to the point of death. And therefore God also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you want to glorify God the Father, you can't skip Jesus. You need him. You know what? He doesn't need me, but you need him. We need him. We all need him. We won't make it without him. God won't accept us without him. He is the Messiah, the Moshiach Nabi, that Daniel had spoken of, and all of the prophets, all the way from Moses to Malachi. And he came for you in order to give his life a ransom for our sin. And so we hope you believe him. But let me get back on topic here. It's just easy to go and muse about all the beautiful things that God has provided through his Son. So I want you to see that all that Old Testament brought us to a period after Solomon's reign, which ended the United Kingdom, David to Solomon, and his sons, and some other people there broke up and split the kingdom into two. And we had the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah, from that time on up until they were scattered to the four winds and taken into captivity under Gentile dominion. And so God was showing them something. You can't break up my group. You can do it, and I'll let you do it, It's not for your benefit, just like we should know that here in America, breaking up into a couple of groups. Do we think that's really helping the cause of the world? And I want to let you know it isn't. It's a system of defeat that brought down the covenant people. And the Bible is very clear. It says that all these things that happened to Israel, we'll read it in 1 Corinthians 10, happened to Israel as an example for us, that we would not fall into the same traps and do the same things they did and get off the track and lose the blessing of God. And so that's the truth. Romans 15, verse 3 says that all these things are examples to you and me to show us that we would not repeat the same kind of a craziness that Israel, the covenant people, did. And you know what? He came to his own, it says in John. But his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, there were some of them who received him, but it was just a remnant, not the majority. The majority of them forsook Jesus and said, crucify him. And it didn't shock God. God had already written down blow by blow every detail that would happen. And it was in graphic detail in the Word. And they had been the keepers of the Word all those years, from Moses clear through to Malachi. And they were scattered under Gentile dominion when the southern kingdom went into captivity. We talked about this on a previous lesson in 586. And let me say this to you, and I'm going to get back where I'm supposed to be here. I'm kind of went far afield here today. But ever since that Babylonian captivity of the southern kingdom in 586 BC up until today, Israel has always been under the dominion of Gentile control. They have not been the major power in the world anymore. From 400 years before Christ, clear on up until today. In AD 70, the temple that was in Jerusalem was destroyed. Jesus prophesied that that temple would be destroyed in the Olivet Discourse, which is found in Matthew 24. And in 70 AD, the prophecy came to pass. He said that there won't be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And that's the exact historic truth. And there is not, and he said, Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And right now on the mosque, the Temple Mount is the Mosque of Omar, a Gentile temple that was put there later on, hundreds of years later. It's still there today. So that's how we know, even though Israel went back into their country in 1948, and they are still there today, they do not have a temple. And that's exactly the fulfillment of Hosea. We can take time and show you all that. That God already wrote all that down. So everything's happening perfectly, just as it has been written. And so this is why you and I should believe Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. He wouldn't be the most famous person on earth had he have not gotten out the grave. There wouldn't be anything to preach tonight. But there is plenty to preach, and I want you to believe Christ. And the Bible says it will be counted to you for righteousness. So this confusion that the Jews entered into after all of this, separating the kingdom into two parts, Israel and Judah, the southern kingdom, Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom, this confusion was not, however, a surprise to God, the Father, Jesus' Father. It didn't surprise him at all. There were some who were faithful with messianic understanding and anticipation, even though the majority of Israel was not prepared for his arrival when he came at first Christmas. This was mostly caused by biblical contamination, understand that was propagated by polarized religious factions within the tribes of the children of Israel. See, that separating and tribal stuff made there be Pharisees and Sadducees and Essenes and Zealots, you know what that is, denominations. Hello. All these denominations breaking up couldn't agree that God already said one thing. He had a central way that all men, women, boys, and girls could be made right. But religious factions and contamination broke them into different denominations. Hello. I hope that says something to some of you. Somebody should be listening tonight. There were 12 tribes originally who through the years became divided based on differences of biblical doctrine and interpretation. This division had deep roots that went all the way back to the separation of the tribes of Israel at the conclusion of the United Kingdom, at the conclusion of the reign of Solomon, the son of King David. And so that's the truth, beloved. Understand that. This went on way back then, and it never got corrected even when Christ was born. But God's clock was still ticking, and Jesus was born right on time into all that confusion in the world. And that's why those people who were supposed to be the most religious people on earth were the main ones saying, crucify him. And God already knew that all these factions and divisions would bring them to the place where they wouldn't even recognize Almighty God the Son when he came in the flesh. And so it was already written. It has been written in great detail. We don't have time to talk about it all tonight. So I want you to understand it was the same kind of mess that we have going on now in churches, in politics, in governments of the world. And as I mentioned to you, all they do is rise and fall, and rise and fall, and rise and fall. They don't ever rise and stay. You know why? Because they're all twisted. And there's one way to be right. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 says. So I see this confusion in a similar pattern to how things have been done here in the United States of America in many ways. We as a nation who have been the most blessed nation on the face of the earth, more than any Gentile nation has before, we have followed the same footsteps of Israel in many ways. That's why we have this that we have, this mess. So you need to keep your mind clear on the gospel, that God has one way for all people to be saved. It's not by a ritual. It's not by works of righteousness that anyone has done, Titus 3 says in verse 5. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. When you trust Christ, God will seal you with the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30, you can take those notes, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise by faith in Jesus Christ alone for the day of redemption. God will never take it back, beloved. He loves you. He will seal you. He accepts you, and he wants you to be saved. So that's the upside of everything, and I think we've just now gotten here. So today I would like to teach about a situation that should help us all to see that God has secret accounting of an open reward. That's what I call it. And that conclusion came to my mind. He has secret accounting of an open reward. Now, what do I mean there? What I mean, and we're going to get out of here with this, because my time is far spent. What I mean is that whatever you're going through today, the stuff you're doing, people put a lot of stock in stuff in the world. And I'm not saying don't do it. You got to be connected. You're in the world. You're here for a reason. God loves you. He's given you whatever authority you have over whatever you do. You know what? But this is the part I want you to see tonight. You know, the authority he gives us, the jobs he gives us, the work he gives us to do, the things we possess and all of that, we shouldn't get so hung up on it, because you know what it'll do? It distracts us from a higher thing that's going on, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. God is doing some secret accounting for an open reward. In other words, he has a reward for me and you. It won't be based on, did I stack up enough money? Do I own enough properties? Do I have my feet on enough folks' neck to be above them? It won't be based on that. It won't be based on my bank account. It won't be based on my stocks and my bonds. It won't be based on any of that. You know what? There was a beggar that was at a rich man's gate, and you heard about that in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, begging for the crumbs, the scraps that fell off the rich man's table. And you know what the rich man did? Stick the dogs on him. Get him away from him. And the dogs had more mercy than he did. The Bible says, moreover, the dogs licked his sores. And his name was Lazarus, and he laid at the gate of the rich man. Stuff like that. Why would God put that in the Bible? You know what happened? The beggar died. And the Bible says, and the angels came and delivered him into the bosom of Abraham. Abraham is the one who represents salvation for Old Testament saints. And this beggar that was laid at the rich man's gate was taken into the bosom of Abraham. Oh boy, that's amazing. I thought the beggar would be in hell, because he didn't have anything. He didn't do anything. He didn't have a job. He was a deadbeat, we might say. But you know what? He believed God. And the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness. I mean, that's what salvation is. It's to trust God. Doesn't make any difference what you have, what you don't have. Doesn't make any difference how much you stack up. Because it says later on, the same thing that Jesus was teaching there in Luke, that the rich man died. He had everything. He fared sumptuously and was dressed in purple, and he was living high on a hog, we would say. That's not a good Jewish term, but they didn't deal with the hog. But let's say he lived a very scrumptious life. And he had everything. He had servants and all of that.
had a gated community around his house. But it says when he died in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Have you ever thought about it? The beggar went into the bosom of Abraham, the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes. That's amazing. So you mean to tell me being rich won't get me in heaven? No. You mean I can be poor and still get in heaven? Yes. You know why? Because neither one really makes a difference. It has to do with, do you have faith? Do you believe God? Do you trust his word? That's why there's secret accounting that God is doing. God is not looking at how much you have or any of that. He's looking at what you believe. Do you believe him? Have you put your faith in him? You know, you don't have to worry about what you have or what you don't have. But some people with a lot are going to bust the bottom out of hell. And some people with very little are going to be rejoicing with God and all the saints who have believed him. Folks who have trusted in him throughout their lives. Who may have had very little in this life. So God has another system of accounting. And he's going to give you an open reward. I'm just going to take you to one place and our time's about gone, beloved. But we'll talk about this more a little later. But look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 6. And this is one of the teachings of Jesus in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll be closing with this. He says, take heed that you do not do your alms. In other words, give donations and charitable deeds and all of that before men to be seen of them. It's not about what you look like washing up to put an offering in the plate. Jesus told us about a widow that had two mites, and that was all she had to her name. And she came up and dropped those two mites in the offering while others were putting in tithes of everything they owned. They had 10% of all kinds of stuff they had given. And let's say they had $10,000, and they slapped $1,000 into the offering. And the fact was, the widow had two mites. That would imagine today, just imagine that to be two pennies. Here she comes with 2 cents to her name. 2 cents in the offering. And he says she gave more than everybody. Think about it for a minute. She gave more than the people who put in $1,000 because they had $10. And the disciples looked at each other, what is he talking about? That was two pennies that she threw in there. But it had nothing to do with how much she put in. God has a secret accounting for which he will give an open reward. See, he will reward you openly because he knows what's in your heart. He knows that you love me. You know what she was saying? I got two pennies. I can either give it to God and trust him. I don't know how I'm going to make it from here, but I trust him. He's going to get me through. I'm going to make it. I don't have to worry about it. I can support the temple because God has been taking care of me. He's the one who takes care of me. I'm not worried about the two pennies. That's what I got. Your wife, she put 100% of what she had in the offering. Others were putting in 10%. They were paying tithes and walking around there like a man and put a tithe of a 5% to that. And that really has nothing to do with it. God's accounting is totally different than man's accounting. The Bible says that man looks upon the outward appearance, 1 Samuel 16:7, but God looks upon the heart. See, he knows what's in our heart. And moving on back to Matthew 6, that's why Jesus said, make sure, take heed, that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father in heaven, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what? If you do that, you got what you wanted. I got my reward. Everybody sees I got a lot of money. And you can look up to me. That's what you wanted. That's what you got. But don't look for anything from God. God has a secret accounting for an open reward. Notice what Jesus goes on to say. I'm about done. He says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. God said, I got a blessing for you. Folk don't have to know about it. It's between me and you. I'm going to bless you because you know me, and I'm there, and you do it because you love me, not to be seen, not to show off. You see what I mean? So many people do things for the wrong reason. I want to ask you as I close, examine your heart today. Find out why do you do what you do. Sometimes people even will do the opposite. They'll go, okay, times are hard, and they lock up because, you know what, they don't trust God. You should trust God at all times, no matter what you're doing. Believe His word. Have your check your attitude. That's what I have been doing. I've had to check my attitude to make sure it's right. You know, I want God. I need His power in my life. I need His forgiveness every second of every day. I don't see it every second of every day, but a lot of times, well, you won't even want to hear this in a lot of churches. You won't hear that people have a lot of trouble dealing with sinful things in their lives. You know what? Folks want to come in and act like I'm so holy, oh, hallelujah. And without talking about the dirt and the deep, dark side of their own minds. But God knows us. And He loves us, and He gave His Son for us. Doesn't mean to keep sinning, certainly not. Because Jesus was perfectly holy. His Father is perfectly holy. The Holy Spirit, whom He's given us, is perfectly holy. But you know what it does mean? Be for real. When you come to God, be for real, beloved, because He loves you. He's made a way for you. He did that, and the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's the truth. So don't get into churchianity or churchiosity or political stuff that won't really help you, won't amount to anything in the day of judgment. The only thing that's going to make a difference is, have you trusted Christ? Do you believe that God raised Him from the dead so that you shall be saved? That's it, beloved. And I want you to know God loves you, and He will do everything He promised. There won't be one thing that God promised that shall not be done. Everything will be done. The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Mark 13:31, if you want a verse for that. So I want to ask you tonight, examine yourself. This is what I've been doing. To see whether you're being the faith. That's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 13:35. Examine yourself to see whether you're being the faith. And he says, check yourself out, because you're your own best judge. I don't need to judge you. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And if you're trusting Christ, you have nothing to worry about. You know why? God said it, not because Pastor Fisher said it, but the Bible says, whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. That's great news to me. So I hope you have received that today. I hope this lesson has blessed you in some kind of way. Once again, Pastor Landis Fisher, coming to you at this time. I want to pray with you. If you never received Christ to be your personal Savior, do it now. It'll be the best decision you ever made. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we repent of our sin, Lord God, and we turn away from the sin, Lord, and we turn to Jesus, your Son, who you allowed to be crucified on the Roman cross. Some people didn't even understand what the cross was about, but it was where you poured out your wrath and your judgment on your own Son, because you knew we would not be able to take it. But He took it for us. He carried it away once and for all. And so, Father, we believe in Jesus. We trust Him. And we know that your word says that He would be in the grave for 3 days and nights, and He would rise and declare, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Father, bless us with the free gift of salvation that you provide through your Son, Jesus the Messiah. Help us to lean and depend on Him, Lord God. And you can begin that process when you fill us with your Holy Spirit of washing us, O God, of all sin and every transgression. Give us a new mind, Lord God, so we can understand your word and memorize the word and wash our minds with the word of truth, Father. Bless somebody tonight who's praying with me right now, Lord God, that they can know for sure that they are saved, and you will never leave them nor forsake them, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you, and we thank God for you. We hope you'll join us again on this Lord's Day coming up. Got a lot of really exciting announcements. Things are really moving, and God is blessing. So we thank you for being here with us. Landis Fisher, we love you, and we hope you love us back.